Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your host, Ryan Dangler.
You picked a tie? What are we, true. In Europe? Like, what?
We can, ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, dude, why? Why are we doing? No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of shit was today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flu's over there.
I'm not Captain Flu.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah, wow.
Show,
maybe no, I have talent. Is that what we find out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then they just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. I'm your host for tonight, Brendan Chagrou. A little bit of a different flow tonight. So I will just spoil it right here. Ryan Dingle is here, but I'm going to be driving. So it should be a really fun show because we have a big Bears win to talk about. If you want to follow me on Twitter or X, you can follow me at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. You can also check out my work at Bears Wire, thebearswire.com. Got a ton of fun articles there. Please check out how I nailed a lot of my bold predictions this past week. And I have an interview with Montez Sweat that you can check out too. But let's talk about this game. And to do so, I'm going to bring on this guy first. He is Logan Bradley, our guy out on the West Coast. You can follow Logan at LBrad5. Logan, how you feeling tonight? How's your weekend going?
It's been great. I mean, my only complaint, and I say this to you especially because we used to do our betting picks, but I cannot get in a groove betting-wise on the NFL right now, and it is just pissing me off. It, like, every side or total I pick is wrong. So anything you got, Brendan, tell me moving forward.
I do miss our weekly betting podcast. Those were a lot of fun. Past, like 2 years ago, I believe, Logan and I would do a weekly pregame show and we would just talk fantasy football and betting. And we had a little competition going. I don't know about, I haven't really done too much, especially against the spread, but I've been pretty good about picking winners. I felt great about the Jaguars this weekend. I felt really good about the Texans, even though that was a wild game that came down to the end. So I'm feeling good about picks. I just feel like the point spreads are going to get me. So I feel like
it's impossible. It's impossible. If you're getting some wins, just take them and run.
Yeah. If you have any betting advice, please just flood Logan Bradley's Twitter.
Please. Desperate.
He needs all of the help he can get. I'm going to bring on next Captain Flus. Oh, he took off the Flus's mid. Flus is no longer mid. Jack Wright.
He is.
Follow him at Bear Down Jack on Twitter. So are you back in on the Flus train, Jack?
Can I be neutral? I mean, there's a nice dub. I'm just going to enjoy it. I really didn't think much about Flus today at all, to be honest with you. I just thought this was a freaking awesome game. We deserve this, guys.
That's the best way to put it.
and all the fans, but like all the podcasters and all like the journalists and all the kids like that have been waiting for the Bears to just have a beatdown win. Oh, so satisfying. What happened? Did I just shut everybody down with my amazing comments there?
Too good.
Yeah, too good. It was just over the top good. It was really good. And my my fantasy teams, I kind of retired from betting, Logan, because well, I just didn't really win anything ever. So I just like have kind of put all my eggs in my seven fantasy football leagues that I have. And basically, I've noticed that the more the entry fee is, the better I'm doing. And I'm pleased by that. I think I'm going to be 4-0 and two of my 4-0? Leagues. Yeah, not bad.
Okay, well, look at you. Be bragging. I think I'm about 2-0, 2-2, 3-2, something like that all over the place. So
it's... Check that. 5-0 now, right? So I'd be 5-0. And I mean, there was a time where I was doing so many leagues, and some of them weren't pay leagues. And then I was just like, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. Except for the family ones, you know?
Yeah. You got to do those. But yeah, it's like, not to say it's not worth my time if it's not at least a little bit of money, but then there's just no motivation. Let's be honest.
Right. Right. Yeah. There were,
I'll just say this. I'd probably be in the running for one of the worst point differentials ever, because I think I have like 45 points this week. I did bad.
Nice.
And somebody else has like 150, so it's terrible. I really don't want to talk about fantasy football right now. And also, we got to get this guy on the stage here. He's been waiting too long. He's usually first up, but he is last. Finally, it is Ryan Dangle. You can check out Ryan Dangle on Twitter at Ryan Dangle. Hello, Ryan Dangle.
Hi. It's kind of fun being in the background a little bit, just pushing buttons and kind of making sure that everything works. Logan, I miss your betting so much. My fantasy team misses a little bit, but just as you were saying that you can't hit a bet, I was thinking you're a liar. If it's okay, Brendan, if I could just throw this out here, beginning of the preseason, right? Or towards the end of the preseason, whatever, it doesn't matter. We decided to take a look at who's going to win, who's going to lose each game. And so right now, myself, Ryan Dangle, Brennan Chagrou, and Jack Wright, we are all tied at 4-1. Unfortunately, Shells is at 3-2, and Cam Ellis is at 2-3. That would make Mr. Logan Bradley a perfect 5-0 right now, which is basically like, you're like the best. You're like the genius.
Yeah.
And
no,
I think you now to that one late, which makes it even better.
Yeah. It was just half prepared. And honestly, now that makes me happy that we didn't win that Colts game, because it's much more important that I'm 5-0 than the Bears be 4-1. So we'll see if we can keep it going. True. Let's go 17-0.
That is true. I mean, clearly individual accolades matter the most. Like, it doesn't matter if the Bears win as long as you're right in the end.
I mean,
isn't that the Twitter thing?
If Logan goes, if he goes 17-0, the Bears are 11-6. I'm okay with that. Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Yep. If I start getting them wrong, I'm going to have bad body language, and then DJ Moore can go on his podcast and criticize me for that. So it's all fair.
So Logan, that does mean that you had the Bears with a big win this past weekend against the Panthers.
Absolutely, I did. Then again, did anyone pick a loss in preseason for that game?
I think Cam said it best. If the Bears can't beat the Panthers at home, they have no business in the NFL, or something to that effect.
Yeah, so that is correct.
Oh, man. No, this was a great game, though. I don't know about you guys. Real quickly, we're going to get to a bunch of things. I just want quick thoughts before we thank some friends. Just quick thoughts from everyone. This was one of those kick your feet up and just enjoy yourself kind of games. Like, I want to hear let's start with Jack, Ryan, Logan. I'll finish it up. Just overall general thoughts about this game.
I mean, I said it just briefly. It was so fun to watch the game, and I have been looking forward to a game like today's game for so long. And I think all of us have been, because it's been so incredibly frustrating on so many levels. To score 5 touchdowns, to have a clean pocket all day, to have the offensive line control the line of scrimmage. These are things that we've been waiting for. I know it was a little bit of a failure to launch on that very first drive, but beyond that, for the most part, the offense clicked pretty decently. There was a bit of a dead spot there, I think, in the third quarter that was disappointing, but not awful. So, yeah, I mean, the interceptions, the sacks, the hurries, the pass deflections. Last thing I'll say, because I want to hear from you guys, is maybe it's a little bit more of a minutia thing, but I just love watching the Bears defenders, first of all, close on the ball and then smoke ball carriers. I mean, it is pretty fun. Like they close distance better than many of the teams that we have ever seen, or at least that I have seen. Edwards does it amongst the best. He's just a lot of fun to watch. And Brisker just lays wood all day, thumping people. So a lot of fun. So much fun today.
Yeah, it was stress-free. Like, and for the fact that, like, I think my biggest takeaway is that there are like a few areas I think that you can clearly look at and you'd be like, okay, they need to get better in these areas. But all in all, there's not like one position group I felt like from today's game where you can be like, man, they did bad. Like the offensive line, of course, I think for the whole year, we're going to see them struggle at times. But for the first time in God knows how long, it was not only you have all the things about Caleb Williams that we're going to get into and how much better he has gotten week over week and how incredible he was today. But for me, it's just the entire collection of a team, which I'm still not a Fluce guy, but it's I can't be saying that the collective team looked very good and not also give Fluce some credit to get them into this spot. You know, other people have played big roles as well, but it was just a really, really well-rounded team effort today, and it's not something that we get to see very often. So I, for one, am going to soak that in, and definitely enjoyed reading the press clippings and searching things on Twitter, doing the Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams search from last week, and just reading all people's takes that people love to get off. So it was an awesome day.
Let me be a wet blanket for like 10 seconds, and then I'm going to just be like, yay, so happy. Slow starts and challenge flags. Bad. Matt Eberflus. Bad, bad, bad. There, you should have thrown a challenge flag. Wasn't a catch late in the game. Whatever. With that being said, this was freaking fun. It was fun to watch. I don't care that it was the Panthers. His second, Caleb Williams' second touchdown pass to DJ Moore, that was great coverage, and he put it in the exact perfect spot. If you go back and you watch from his perspective behind the pocket, as opposed to like the normal side to side view, he kind of leads with his eyes and kind of puts it in a spot that only his guy can get it, throws a dime. I'm so excited talking about it. Like, I don't, honestly, if he continues this trajectory, I don't really care much about wins and losses, because I don't necessarily know that this is the team that's going to do it. Those is, as Jack said, this defense is spectacular. That was fun to freaking watch. And our quarterback might be really, 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 really good.
In the words of Caleb Williams during his press conference today, uh-oh. Yeah, the Bears might actually have a quarterback. This was it was so funny. I was watching the press conference, and there was like no context. I think it was DJ Moore bringing his kids in, which is awesome. But Caleb just looks up and he smiles and he just goes, "Uh-oh." And I clipped it, cuz it was the funniest thing I've seen all day. Not as funny as the Panthers just trying to throw haymakers because they were losing so bad in the end zone. Like, that was the one time they showed some fight. But I think Ryan put it best. This was fun. It was a complimentary football too. I was really pleased with how every phase was complimenting each other, not only just from like the run and pass options that Shane Waldron called up, but how about the defense getting 3 turnovers and the Bears offense turning those into 17 points? That's exactly what you need to do. Mm-hmm. When the Panthers and other teams give you gifts, you make, I mean, you take them and run with them. And it really should have been 3 touchdowns if not for Doug Kramer getting a little chippy there at the goal line. But yeah, this was a fun, stress-free game for the most part. I'd say after the first 2 series, things started to feel really, really good. I can't wait to break it down with you guys. But before we do that, we have some people we have to thank. Oh, Jack Jackson, right.
You hate to see it.
Oh, can I tell them your middle name?
You cannot.
Yeah. Ooh, can you?
Not even for that egregious sin that I just pulled off. Sheridan's Barbershop, located in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, has been serving the community since 1954. with 6 barbers. Sheridan's is open 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday. And they have appointments available to book online or by phone at your convenience. You can go to Sheridan'sBarbershop.com or you can call 630-668-0137. Book yours today. If you are not in historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois, but you are in legendary historic Pleasantville, Naperville, Illinois, you can go to Hensel's Barbershop, which is located in downtown Naperville, Illinois. Mr. Redundant over here. They've been there since 1966. They have 6 barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. You can either walk in or you can make an appointment at henselsbarber.com. Whether you go to Sheridan's or you go to Hensel's, you know you're there because it's where traditional meets modern.
All right, so we are talking about a Bears 36-10 victory over the Panthers. Like we said, it was pretty much domination from the start. I don't have an official Brendan's breakdown for you. It was a busy day, but I can tell you the Panthers pretty much scored on their second drive, first or second drive, and then just didn't do anything after that. It was Bears in complete control. But I think the story of the day is Caleb Williams, and I think it's what everybody wants to talk about. So let's talk about it first. Real quickly, Caleb's stat line today, he was 20 of 29 for 304 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He only took 1 sack. He had some very interesting pocket maneuvers, I would say. I loved how he was just looking around him, trying to find somebody and just keeping plays alive. And he finished the day with a 126.2 quarterback rating. That is the best rating of his career. Comes off a week ago when he had 106 rating. So my question to you guys is, I think it's clear that this was easily Caleb Williams' best game of his career up to this point, but we're going to do a little true or false. True or false, has Caleb Williams officially arrived? Let's go. We'll keep the same order. We'll go Logan, Jack, Ryan, and I'll finish it up.
That's not the same order, but okay.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll start it off. Hey, you know what, Dangle? We can't all be perfect hosts, but I will start this off here and say that, God, there's so much semantics within this question, but I'm going to say that he hasn't arrived. And the only reason that I'm going to say that is because I think that the ceiling for Caleb Williams is even so much higher than we saw today. Every week he's taken steps. He looks comfortable in the pocket. He looks comfortable making plays outside of the pocket. We're starting to see him do things with his eyes in terms of looking off members of the opposing secondary so that he can find different reads and things like that. But I will say that he has not officially arrived yet because, again, I think that there's still another level, another gear that Caleb Williams can hit within his game. And also, I think that it was the Panthers. And while I'm not one to really preach, hey, you know, asterisk this because it was the Panthers or whatever, but he did exactly what he was supposed to do today. He was phenomenal. But again, I'll just take this question my own way and say that he hasn't arrived because he has so much more to prove. He's one of those guys where he doesn't really talk too much about kind of what's said about him publicly, but I just can only imagine the things that he wants to say. And I think that he's going to continue taking these steps. And I think soon I'll say he's quote unquote arrived very soon, but the numbers speak for themselves, and everything that he's doing right now is just so awesome and so different from anything that we've ever seen before. So just to be that guy, I'm going to say false because I think there's more.
I'm also going to say false, and not to knock the game at all because it was an outstanding game for him. And I think there's got to be a couple of things that fall into place. There needs to be him stringing several games like this together. There needs to be an instance in which the Bears beat a team that they weren't expected to beat because Caleb was so extraordinary on that particular day that he becomes a difference maker in that way. And, you know, we talked about it in the chat. You have to beat the teams that are on your schedule. And, you know, we gave the Panthers a good old-fashioned ass-whooping. It's nice to see what your quarterback can do with a clean pocket. He's excellent with a clean pocket. He makes very few mistakes His arm strength is elite. It's so good. He very well could arrive. I think he will arrive. I think he is an excellent quarterback. The last thing I'll say is, I mean, people forget, like, C.J. Stroud, everyone wants to use that as kind of like the barometer. He had three or four stinkers last year. There's going to be some stinkers from Caleb coming forward. So, false, he has not arrived yet.
Man, I have to agree with my colleagues. I want to say yes, but he's not there yet. And I think, Jack, you know, we were talking about stringing some games together. I kept thinking about RG3, and I know that there was an injury there, but just think about how stunning he looked. I remember saying in his second year that he was going to take Washington to the Super Bowl. He looked so freaking good, and then it just never kind of came to. I will say this, though, and Logan, I'm quoting you from our text thread today, is this is different. And I mean that in the ways of, you know, when you watch Justin Fields, you're like, oh, here's a playmaker. Here's some really cool stuff. That throw that he made, that he has made, right, to DJ and some of these other guys, I don't think I've ever seen that, you know, the anticipation by which he throws, and moreover, the improvement within the pocket that he has just been so good. Jack, I love what you tweeted, right? The, you know, they're coming after him or whatever. It was like, what was the quote, Jack? I can't remember exactly what it is that Coleman Shelton, he said it, right?
Oh, yeah, like Coleman, that soundbite was just fantastic, right? Like, Caleb's back there directing traffic, which, by the way, and I don't want to steal too much of your time. That's the other thing, is I think Caleb is running like advanced placement offense. Like, he's advanced placement NFL offense as a rookie, which I think is cool. But yeah, so Coleman was like, we've got a flipping fire. And I think Caleb was just
flipping.
Like, he did not say flipping.
Said, family-ish. Family-ish. Fire.
And then Caleb said, I got it. It was nice.
I just wanted Jack to say that part, but that's okay. That's okay, Jack. I just think if you're not excited by this kid's improvement from week to week, Brendan, I was so excited to see that tweet come out again, right? The one that you compiled together of his quarterback line. Just like, I mean, I know, like, he can't continue this just like that every single game. He's going to have bad games, but this kid, he just, in a bad offensive line too, he looks freaking awesome. And while he hasn't officially arrived yet, man, it's around the corner for sure.
I really just wanted to get that clip in there because it's like the hot mics were so good today, just with the, you know, it's effing fire. And then Kim's like, I got it. I know I got it. Look, it's a clean sweep. I agree with you guys. Caleb Williams has not arrived yet, but look, he is getting out of the Uber. His suit is looking dapper. He's got roses in hand, and he is just about ready to walk up to the door and walk in. He's not there, but he is on his way. This was just the growth that you want to see. And obviously growth is in progress is not linear, but man, he's kind of making it look linear, just how he's been able to do this over the last 3 weeks. And really, I guess 2.5 weeks, if you just want to take the second half from the Colts game. But he is the first Bears rookie quarterback. I tweeted this. He's the first Bears rookie quarterback to have multiple 300-yard games in a season. Only played five of them. And granted, there's only been other two rookie quarterbacks who have had a single 300-yard passing game. That's Cade McNown. That's Mitchell Trubisky. So not the greatest company, but still, it shows just how capable he is. I also want to point out something. Yeah, I know, Ryan, that stink face, I know. I do want to point out something, though, from his post-game presser that he said. Do you guys remember the first pass of the game, that out route to Keenan Allen that looked awful, like a complete miss, and it almost came back for a pick six? So he said in his press conference during the post-game that he had no idea how bad the wind was at Soldier Field. And I think all of us who have been at a game at Soldier Field know just the complete wind tunnel it can be. And he said the wind was coming like cross direction and it completely took the ball. And he said, from that point on, I was very in tune with what the wind was doing. I was trying to figure it out. I was doing the water test. And it just goes, like he had said, if I make a mistake, I'm not making it again.
that was probably his worst miss of the game, and we didn't see anything like that after that. So in the moment, you're like, what is going on? That's a terrible miss by him, but clearly there's an explanation for it, and we didn't see it. I love that he's able to correct his mistakes in real time. We talked about the touchdown. He looked off the safety. That's a veteran move. He just literally pulled him to the right side and said, I'm going to pop it right over to DJ Moore in single coverage.
Beautiful.
Jack, you mentioned the communication at the line. He called the play. I love the name Biggie's Angels. And it turned out he changed it. He turned out to a rollout to Roma Dunze on the left side for a first down. Like, he's making these positive changes and he's calling into the right plays. It is his fifth game. Yeah. I don't remember a Bears quarterback having this much autonomy at the line of scrimmage and also being able to do so well with it. Like, this is insane. He's wearing 18. He's manning the huddle and the line of scrimmage like Peyton Manning. Obviously, I'm not saying he's Peyton Manning, but just in terms of how he's operating, it's very encouraging. The deep balls were much better. Just everything continues to progress. And last thing I want to say, I want to give credit to Jeff Berkus on this. Caleb is now just 38 yards behind the pace to break the Bears' single season yardage record from Eric Kramer. Yeah. So he's pretty much right there after these last few games. Like,
after what did he have? What was the first game? 90 something yards?
93, I think.
Yeah. Like, that's, that says a lot about Caleb and the Bears. One thing real quick, like, I didn't know how I wanted to answer that previous true or false until TJ put it in the comments saying, if Caleb beats the Packers, I'll say that he has arrived. That is 100%, I think, exactly what I would say there. And yeah, I just think that there's a lot of different boxes that he still needs to check where it comes to number 1A, 1B, 1C, beating the Packers, but then also just playing in a divisional game, playing in bear weather when it comes to, you know, a mid-December game. So he still has a lot to prove, but it doesn't mean that you can't be ecstatic about where he's at.
Logan, I think that's a phenomenal point. And thinking about this is he's got some get right games before we get to the conference games, right? The way that this schedule is set up is so, I mean, even if they don't beat the Jags, because that's a long trip, the Bears haven't played really well over the UK for a little while. I don't think it matters. Like, if he continues to ascend and play well, he has all these get right games before, you know, he's playing any games in the NFC North, which I will reiterate is the best division in football, and I'll fight anybody that says otherwise.
It's the only division where every team has a winning record right now.
It's crazy.
It is. Although it would have been a lot funnier to be like, oh, the Packers are only the only team in the NFC North to have a losing record. That stinks. But Stafford just couldn't get it out of there.
He had a chance, man. He had a really, really good chance. It would have been fun.
It would have. I think that's some really good nuanced discussion on Caleb Williams. I think we're all obviously very excited, but we know that there's still a long way to go. But you're right. Playing these lesser defenses, and there's a few more to come, but this is when I don't even want to say it's get right. It's just develop and figure out what you can do and where you can get better. And you are clearly seeing that. We are going to look back, and I said it in real time, guys. I said it after the game. In week one, we're going to look back and say, wow, look at where this team is at now. Whether it's good or bad, things are going to change a lot. And so far, we can easily say, wow, look at where Caleb Williams is at from week one to week five. It's great to see. And it's also just fun to see. I want to get to this. I don't want to spend the whole time on Caleb Williams. I want to go to the offense real quick. And we've talked a lot about Shane Waldron specifically, his play calls, how he gets into a rhythm during the game. I know, Ryan, you mentioned the opening scripts. It wasn't great, you know, the three and out, and next thing you know, the Panthers getting the ball back and having a chance to score. So I'm just curious, this isn't like a true or false question, but do you feel better about Shane Waldron's play calling? Do you feel maybe the same? Are you still discouraged by what things are happening? We'll go the same order as last time again. We'll go Logan, Jack, Ryan, and myself.
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to be feeling better. It's like we look at all these offensive coordinators and they just we're like scarred. It's like being a scarred dog. We've seen so many bad coordinators call bad plays. So when you see a guy like Waldron start off the year with this clunky play calling and getting a little cute with it, you just quickly, you know, I say we, this whole fan base kind of unravels and just gives up on a guy. And I'm not saying that to say that Shane Waldron all of a sudden is the greatest offensive coordinator ever, but I do think, similar to players deserving leash into the season, learning and everything, I think the same needs to be extended to Shane Waldron. He's learning a brand new quarterback who's also learning the league. And the fact of the matter is that he's shown the ability to change things up a bit and make changes throughout the week. So I think our true false of last week of whether he's better or worse than Getsy is now seems a little bit easier to answer. But no, I just think that he's shown a willingness to change, and he's done some different things. So that's similar to the players. That's all you can ask for.
I'll give him props for calling a sound game against a below average opponent. I mean, and that's probably sounds like a backhanded compliment, but we have seen instances in which we've not seen sound game plans and play calling against teams that we should have quite obviously beaten. So I'll give him, you know, I'll check the box that says, hey, you took it to a team offensively that you should have taken it to, a team that had a ton of injuries on defense. You scored 5 touchdowns. You were incredibly proficient in the red zone. I believe they scored 3 out of 4 times in the red zone. You did the things that you were supposed to do against a team you were supposed to do it against. And I think he deserves credit for that. I think the, you know, time will tell if we can see a similar type of efficacy and success against teams that are more stalwart than Carolina is. And I'd also like to see us continue to have some sort of a flow and momentum with our play calling as we continue to face opponents that are, you know, like less than stellar. The only like little criticism that I have is I'm seeing a little bit of tunnel vision on the goal line. I still think we just have had a lot of coordinators who struggle there. Maybe some folks like the fact that we just kept pounding it in between the tackles until we scored. But I think if you're running a really good nuanced offense, then you realize that the team that you're playing, the defense, is gearing up for, you know, you to, you know, put everything into the center and run it between the tackles. And that's a perfect spot for a little play action boot at the goal line. So again, that's a pretty minor criticism, all things considered.
Yeah, Jack, and I'm not disagreeing with your point at all, but I do think that, you know, thinking the goal line stand that stood out to me the most was riddled with penalties, and that's, you know, that's no fault of Shane Waldron's. Yeah, I think, Logan, you said kind of exactly what I wanted to say is I'm not in the Shane Waldron fan club yet, but I will say is that he has made incremental improvement. And I think, I mean, that seems to be the theme of things. Maybe it's just what I keep saying, right? But it seems to be a theme of this team thus far, is that they're getting better. And again, yeah, sure, you're playing the Panthers, but you're also, you put up a ridiculous amount of points when you haven't been able to do that. At one point, they said they just haven't had an answer for the Chicago Bears offense all day long. And I was like,
Yeah, that is a look around the room and be like, did you hear that?
What? Did you say what? I mean, it's been fair. It's been balanced. I think the thing that I will say is I was highly critical of him in the early parts of the season. And I asked, is he worse than Luke Getsy? And I would say the first half of last week, he surely was. But I think I have to give credit where credit is due, is that he's made improvements and that he's not just hitting his head against a wall, throwing 8 billion screens. I think he's doing things that seem to be pretty obvious from the outside. Run the ball, you know, in between the tackles, you know, Jack, you're right, not necessarily the goal line per se, but I think like doing that in ways that make a whole lot of sense. And so I will be critical of people when they need to be critical, but I'll also say like, dude, the offense looked awesome today. Can that continue against significantly better defenses? That's where I'm worried about. And that's what I really don't know.
I don't think anybody knows yet until you actually start playing them. But the good news is that, like we talked about with Caleb Williams improving incrementally, and the communication overall, I think just everybody is starting to gel more. Everybody's starting to understand their role more. And Shane Waldron on his end is starting to understand who can do what. And I think that was very obvious with his usage of DJ Moore this past week. I mean, my goodness, I know we're going to get into what DJ Moore did, but the fact that he was taking him across the middle of the field, running him deep. I mean, the Panthers had just like a terrible linebacking core that was ravaged with injuries. And what did he do? He took DJ Moore and made sure he went right across there. They didn't know what was going on, and it ended up being the Bears' first touchdown. I think we talked about it earlier, complementary football, using the run to set up the pass. I think that things just looked a lot smoother from that end. DeAndre Swift continues to look better and better in this offense too. I didn't think the offensive line, I know they're facing a Panthers defense that came into the game with only 5 sacks. They're nothing to write home about, but it just felt like there weren't as many confusing areas. One play in particular, actually going back to the DJ Moore touchdown, was Cole Kmet came back in the middle. He was left in to chip. He picked up the blitzer and assisted, I think it was Shelton or maybe it was Swift, with a guy coming in the middle, and it gave Williams the perfect amount of pocket space to operate in. I'm not sure if that happens in week one or week two with how many people are falling all over each other and not knowing where to go. You're still seeing stuff happen where guys aren't necessarily on the same page yet, but it's fewer and farther between, I guess, than what we've seen before. But I can't remember who said it. I'm sorry if it was Logan or Jack, but you do have a point about Waldron not doing enough creativity at the goal line and at fourth down. That was one thing I wanted to bring up, because the Bears just ran Roshon Johnson up the middle or right off the tackle on third down and fourth down. They didn't convert. Now, it didn't matter because the Panthers fumbled away like 2 or 3 plays later, but they are just using the meat and potatoes formula of just run the ball down the throat, try to get as many yards up the middle as you can, and just go from there. We did see a little creativity with Caleb Williams dropping back and trying to find Cole Kmet, I believe it was, on the Doug Kramer penalty right at the goal line. So once that happened, that took him out of their rhythm. So I do think that's going to come at some point, because I'm not sure how much autonomy Caleb has at the line of scrimmage. I saw Michael Gus had a tweet that talked about it, whether like he's able to change out of those plays or not. I haven't seen enough of that to know yes or no, but I do think like that's going to come a little bit more. And I don't hate the fact that they're just continuing to run it up the gut, because how many times have we said to, whether it's Matt Nagy or Luke Getsy, like, stop getting cute and just get the ball forward. And that's your best route. And so far, at least in these last few weeks, it's worked.
Cole Kmet, can we just talk about that for just a second? He's not the smoothest, like, you know, he's not going to make circus catches all the time. But if that dude catches the ball, he's going to run into you and he's going to run you over. Like, you're just thinking about, like, I don't want Brisker to tackle me, but I also don't want to be in charge of tackling Cole Kmet, because that dude is a battering ram, man. And it's been fun to watch. It's been really fun to watch.
The other thing that we may have done here, boys, is we may have buried the lead, because, and I think we're all guilty of this, you know, when it comes to football, you know, we've been talking so much about the offensive line and they've been so beleaguered, but I mean, it's pretty straightforward, right? When you suddenly have, you know, hat on hat, body on body, when you've got guys, you know, blocking in their gaps and moving guys, you know, down the line of scrimmage on a run play, we had guys pulling and effectively pulling and trapping. And when we needed to hook guys, we hooked guys. And when we needed to pass protect, we pass protect, so that the offense could like actually conduct itself in an efficient and meaningful way. And none of it happens if the offensive line doesn't do its job. Now, I don't think the offensive line has arrived. Like, I would definitely not say that. But I do think what we see is everybody looks better. Everybody. Yeah. Caleb looks better. The running backs look better. Shane Waldron looks better. When those guys effectively – I sat and jotted out a play in our office with you know, Dangle the other day and just showed him what happens on an inside trap if the center gets blown back into the backfield. None of the play happens, you know. So I just – all of your points are valid. I'm not trying to discount that. I'm just saying, like, you know, we don't have an offense if we don't have an offensive line. And the offensive line played significantly better today overall.
Can I ask a question while we're waiting for Brendan's internet to be totally back?
Yeah.
Are they better when Tevin Jenkins is not in the lineup?
I think they're just getting used to it at this point. That's your continuity, is just not having him there.
I don't know, man. I guess
I've not centered in on him enough to be able to answer that question. I wouldn't mind isolating him, because I wouldn't imagine that just all of a sudden he doesn't like road grade on a run block anymore.
100%.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
But I don't know as if he's ever been much of a, I don't think his strength has ever been, to post up and pass block. So, you know, if there's a huge disparity between his run blocking and his pass blocking, they might be, you know, because they could have an average run blocker who has a little bit more upside with pass blocking and be better for it, perhaps.
By the way, just to say, well, I definitely agree with all your points about Tevin Jenkins. I mean, he just hasn't been a good player anyway this year. Also, it's not my internet. It's my laptop, which is so much worse. So we just got to make it to Christmas, boys. That's all we got to do. We'll be okay. We'll be okay. Real quickly, I wanted to hit on this because I saw some things going off in the chat. Our guy, Adrian Mask, asks if we do read the comments and everything like that. Yes, we do. We definitely read. We want to, you know, share feedback. If you have questions, please drop them in. We love the people that interact with us each and every episode. So we appreciate you being here, and we definitely want you to feel welcome and ask anything you want. We'll be sure to get to them later. So, all right, enough on the offense. Let's go to the defense quick. Just a dominating performance against a really bad offense, but I was very impressed with their ability to settle down once Chuba Hubbard kind of chewed him up a little bit earlier in the game. And yeah, I know I wasn't even trying to do that, but it just happened. But the fact that they were able to just blanket the wide receivers and keep the Panthers to be in a one-dimensional offense because they were behind. Just kind of want to get your quick thoughts on the defense and what you thought of the performance, if it kind of lived up to your expectations, knowing that the Panthers offense was bad, I would say. Let's go Logan, Jack, Ryan, and I'll finish it up once again.
I think earlier in the show, I think it was Jack who kind of hit the nail on the head, and he just talked about the speed of a lot of the guys that we have on the defense, and that just feels so much different this year and just in even years past. But I feel like Poles has really made that a sticking point for this defense, is just getting speed between TJ Edwards and Brisker. You feel like you see them everywhere, every single play, finishing off plays, and then, Javon, he's breaking out before our eyes, and you've seen a lot of talk on Twitter about not really missing Jalen Carter at this point. So it's amazing how things will work out sometimes in this league if you're just a little bit patient, and you can get different players in different areas. But it was super encouraging. It's just, I think the defense at this point needs to just kind of be that rock and the cornerstone of this team, and just being able to rely on having that each week is huge. And you've heard a lot of different names brought up a lot, and one name I feel like I haven't even heard a lot is Jalen Johnson, and that's not in a bad way. I think that's probably just because guys aren't throwing towards him, but it's just really cool to point out that, maybe arguably our best defensive player is, we haven't even heard too much of him, and it's really just been highlighting other guys. So it's been really nice to see them just get the job done and just be flying around.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we won the turnover battle today in that we turned the ball over none. I believe we forced two fumbles, and we had an interception as well. And I feel like the defense is especially good at knowing down distance and situation. They may give up four or five sometimes, on an initial running play. And as an aside, the run defense might be a little bit of a concern, but I'm not so sure, because it seems to me that, when they get themselves in those situations, they're so incredibly intelligent about, as I said, the down and the distance in the situation, And like they either come up with a sack or a pass deflection, or if there's like a screen, a bubble screen or something, like they're rallying to the football in such a way that they just negate it so fast that it's almost as if their bend don't break within individual series and also like holistically throughout like the expanse of the field. So yeah, I mean, and we're gonna talk about it in just a second, but I was thinking today, just watching Dexter, you know, he's definitely making an impact. I think I was a little concerned to see him be a second year starting interior defensive lineman, but not only has he earned that so far, but what did they say at one point? Is he like leading all interior linemen with sacks at this juncture?
I believe he might be because he's got four.
He's so game. Good.
I'm pretty sure so they good. Said that on the broadcast, which is just incredible.
So I want to go after that, Jack, exactly what you just said. And also, Adrian, to answer your question. So Adrian's question is, do you buy into the Jervon Dexter breakout now? Panthers O-line, especially the interior, were ranked extremely high prior to the game, especially their guards. Even if they weren't, again, we say the same thing for get right game for the offense. It could be a get right for the defense. All I know is that dude is wreaking havoc at a very, very important position in the Matt Eberflus defense. The defensive tackle, the three technique, it doesn't matter. Like whoever is in that position, right? Whatever you want to call it. And he's wreaking havoc, which is allowing other guys to get there. But when you can get pressure with your front four, then you don't necessarily have to blitz, which I think is going to, you know, help them out a lot long term defensively. And here's the thing, for all the faults that I believe Matt Eberflus has, defensive coordinator is not one of them. Him and Eric Washington, and I don't know if it's the combo now at this point, they are running a stellar defense. You have to think Eric Washington, if he continues this trend, is going to probably get some looks as a head coach at some point. All I know is that this defense has been really, really, really fun to watch. And I know that he has been an integral part of that whole thing.
It's a great question. And I'm definitely buying into, as Brian said, buying into what Jervon Dexter is doing. And I'll just say, going along those same lines with the front four, I'm very impressed by what this defense's front line can do with versatility. There was one play that led to the Dexter sack, actually, where Daryl Taylor just pushed his guy in, you know, right up into Andy Dalton. Of course, Dalton sees it, makes him step right into the pocket. And then there's DeMarcus Walker and Jervon Dexter right there for him to get the sack. And that's the type of versatility you have, because we talked about, or maybe not we right here, but in the past, we've talked about DeMarcus Walker's versatility, where he can play outside as well as play inside. And that's what you can do with a ton of guys on that defensive line, whereas he can play the end, but he can also be a really good pass rushing force on those third down blocks. And also, we haven't talked about him yet, Andrew Billings. Look at the sack that the big man had. It was his first sack in 2 years. And so he's actually being used now more as a pass rusher at times instead of just a run blocker. And so that throws offenses off. They don't know who's coming from where. I love just what this coaching staff is doing with these guys, because they're not just put into a box. They're able to be creative with them, move them across the line and everything. And it's creating just so much havoc on the offensive line. Sending Kyler Gordon on blitzes too. It all starts up front. We know that with what these Bears defenses have looked like in the past, and they don't maybe not have like the full name recognition, but this is a pretty good defensive front. And I'm impressed with what they've been able to do so far through 5 weeks.
Especially because at the beginning of the season, I think all of our biggest concerns, it was twofold. Number one, everyone knew the offensive line was going to be an issue, right? Like we thought maybe they're going to be better than last year. But the number two thing, I think, on just everyone's mind was going to be defensive line, defensive line, defensive line. You're asking a lot of guys to step up in a way that, you know, we didn't know if they could or couldn't. And the answer is a resounding yes, they can, and they have. And I think that's been so much fun to watch, boys. So much fun.
Agreed. All right, guys, it is time for one of our favorite segments that we do. It is time for
the outhouse and the penthouse.
Now,
time. Oh, go ahead, Ryan.
I want to hear how you are going to cue it up. I'm very excited, actually, about that.
All right. Sounds good. Well, as always, the Outhouse and the Penthouse is brought to you by our guy, Jeff Cadwallader. Attention, Chicagoland investors and business owners. If you need a commercial real estate expert, you should look no further than Jeff Cadwallader at SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate in Geneva. Jeff has, with generations of experience, Jeff specializes in office, retail, investment, and land properties. But you know what? If you have questions about residential real estate too, please give him a call. Jeff is so willing to help us out. He's been a friend of our show for a very long time. We can't do what we do without his support. So even if you have any sort of question, just reach out to him. But for all of your commercial real estate needs, trust Jeff Cadwallader. So visit jeffcre.com. Or call 630-254-4734. Okay, now I'm going to do something very special because this man can never go first in this segment. So I'm going to start with you, Mr. Ryan Dangle. I know you are so excited. He's doing the happy dance right now. We're going to start, obviously, with the Penthouse because the Bears got a big win. So we're going to go Ryan, Jack, Logan, and I will be humble and go last. So who you got in the Penthouse, guys?
What do I do with my hands? I never get to go first.
Make sure we can see them. That's what you need to do.
I'm so excited. I'm elated. I'm jumping. You all know I get excited about a lot of things, but you listen to my voice right now. I am genuinely excited about going first. It's Caleb freaking Williams. He absolutely deserves to be in the Penthouse. Jeff Cadwallader, get him another mansion. I don't care, whatever. I am so excited to watch this kid play another 300-yard performance. If DJ Moore doesn't drop that pass, who knows what we're looking at? Finds a way to get to the end zone. Sure, there's another penalty, right? So dude accounts essentially for 3 touchdowns today, as far as I'm concerned. He is just, he's improved. He's fun to watch. And the biggest concern, the thing that I keep Ricky Bobby hands, what do I do with my hands, right? So the thing that I was really genuinely worried about was the air mailing, right? The overthrowing receivers. Jack, I actually asked you, I think in one of our last episodes, to kind of break that down for me a little bit. I didn't see that. I didn't see that at all. Yeah, the Panthers might not be great, but I don't freaking care. 20 for 29, 304 yards, 15.2 average, 2 tutties. Yes, he was sacked. 126.2 quarterback rating. I'm so excited. Thank you for letting me go first. I appreciate it. I don't even know. I didn't even hear you say who's going second because I just got so excited. So who's up next?
Jack. It's Jack.
This guy. Oh, I was going to mention too, just to follow up a little bit with Caleb, I thought there were less instances of miscommunication on routes. I was getting a little stale in the last few games. You know, it's like, DJ streaking up the sidelines and, you know, Caleb's expecting to break it off, to the sideline, to a hook route. And anyway, so it's just nice to see. I felt like there was less instances of those. I thought the defensive backfield played really well. I just thought there was so many, besides the interceptions, there was also these great pass deflections. And then they were also coming up and tackling, or like you guys mentioned, they were in the box and they were blitzing on certain occasions. I'll tell you a player I was worried about before the season started because I didn't know if he was washed and I was a little worried about the signing, and that's Kevin Byard III. He had a great game. He had 6 tackles. He had a tackle for loss. He had a pass deflection, and he had that INT was really nice. It was interesting to hear them talk about him leading the league in interceptions. I think they said in 2019. I was really pleased with the way that he played. So he is in my Penthouse.
My fantasy team thanks him very, very much.
Speaking of guys that probably did fantasy teams well today, DeAndre Swift just was sick of hearing it from everybody the 2 weeks ago. And I think he's got about 300 all-purpose yards and a handful of touchdowns over the last 2 games. So I think that guy deserves all the credit in the world. I think people were ready to, and even myself, I know I criticized him, but people I think were ready to call him washed. People were ready to say that he just absolutely has no ability to run between the tackles, which I think that he's proven to be able to do a little bit. But just generally speaking, I think that he has been helped almost maybe, you know, more than anybody, probably not anybody because Caleb Smith, Caleb Williams. But I think that Shane Waldron has done a really good job of giving Swift opportunities and putting him in the best situations to get green grass in front of him. And he's just done an awesome job the last two games of taking advantage of that space in front of him. And, you know, he even got a couple of touchdowns vultured today. So I think the stat line could have even been a little bit better for him, but he deserves all the praise in the world because, you know, that takes us away from being so one-dimensional and having to rely on Caleb. So having him playing well the last two games has been the difference has been incredible. And I hope he continues to do that.
It happened last year. So I'm so happy that DeAndre Swift actually got one of those short yardage touchdowns because he was vultured so many times last year with the Eagles when they just did the tush push. And then it was happening again the last few games. I'm like, this guy can't catch a break. So shout out to Shane Waldron for keeping him in the game to make sure he could get his touchdown. Cause the one he didn't get, he was pissed. And I don't blame him. I'm going to go a little different route here, and I'm going to put Scott Fitterer and Ryan Poles in the penthouse because, guys, this was a showcase of where these two franchises are going, and it is all thanks to those two GMs. Scott Fitterer having the gumption and the cojones to want to trade up to number one to get Bryce Young and giving Ryan Poles of the Bears just the absolute haul of a lifetime. DJ Moore, he balled out today. He had two touchdowns. Yeah, he had a drop, but you know what? He still played a phenomenal game against his old team. How about Darnell Wright? Darnell Wright looked pretty good on the right side, even though he's a little bit banged up. Tyrique Stevenson, the cornerback that the Bears got in that trade, he only had two pass deflections. He had six total tackles. There were quite a few plays where he was just jamming up wide receivers. Torrey Taylor, maybe not his best day, but he still had a couple impactful punts. And of course, Caleb Williams, as you guys mentioned. And the cherry on top of it was the fact that we got to see Bryce Young after all at the end of the game in garbage time, just trying his best to move his little feet to keep the drives moving, even though Austin Booker got the final sack on him. It was poetry, guys. It was so good. And I want Scott Fitterer there to toast with Ryan Poles to say, thank you so much for giving me all of this for that little guy right down there. It was so worth it.
Did you see Jack Sanborn basically grab him by the ankles and throw him down? I turned to my daughter and I started laughing. She goes, Daddy, why are you laughing? I was like, because the big man tackled the little man and he threw him a little bit like a rag doll. Sorry.
It was great. It was so good. Oh man. Yeah. Honestly, we could even go like three more rounds with the outhouse or with the penthouse, but we will go to the outhouse quickly. Who, gentlemen, are in your outhouse today? It is the same order: Ryan, Jack, Logan, and myself.
I just think I'm going to take the easy one, and Simone Biles' husband, Jonathan Owens, for dropping an interception that hit him in the hands and really like would have given me more fantasy points. And so really, buddy, just, you know, Mr. Biles, whatever we're calling him, just wish you would have caught that.
I hit him in a bad spot, I think, in the face mask and then the hands or one like the other way. I'm going to put the much lauded slip and slide from Hard Knocks in the outhouse.
That's a good one.
I don't like what I saw today from Caleb. I mean, again, I do think there's going to be a razor's edge line between the times in which he chooses to use his feet to gain first downs. And he did it a couple of times today in ways that were fantastic and not ill-advised. But then there was an instance, I want to say in the third quarter, where I think he was 3 or 4 yards short of the first down and didn't slide. That's just unnecessary, Caleb. Don't like stop doing that shit, please. And I think I'm kind of joking, but I'm also pretty serious because we all know how quickly that shit can happen. And we don't need him injured. So like, let's bust that bad boy out. Like,
It was one of those things that got so overused. I was like, okay, with the slip and slide on every freaking broadcast, we're bringing it up again. However, slide, Caleb. You need to slide, please.
We should do something as a podcast where, like, if something happens, we someday have to get together as a group and just do a slip and slide for a while. Because I think that would be, that'd be kind of fun. Maybe get our shirts on or off.
You just want to see me with my shirt off.
Off. Yeah. No, tarps off. Yep, tarps off for sure. No, but getting to
Are we recording that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's content. Are you kidding me?
Look, our engagement just went way up.
Or yeah, no, right. We just, sorry.
We legit just got an extra thumbs up as you said that.
Can you imagine? I'm just telling you, that would be good. So let's keep that on the back burner. But no, my outhouse today is the good old fashioned national media, because having worked at Fox Sports, a fine institution, I did get like a chance to kind of see behind the scenes on how some of like shows like those are produced, where it's just, it's exactly what we all think. It's just like kind of clickbaity type stuff for those big shows where a bunch of meat-headed people who don't follow football that closely hear it and are like, oh, the Bears have made a mistake. Again, it's fun to shit on the Bears, so let's do it again and say that they should have taken Jaden Daniels over Caleb Williams. And maybe they're right. We won't know for a very long time. But I just wish we lived in a world where we didn't have to do those stupid, stupid conversations after four football games. So I hope each and every week Caleb Williams goes out there and shoves it down the throat of every single person who is so quick to want to call somebody a bus just because it's fun and just because you can get a few retweets on a good tweet. So shut up, and you guys are in the outhouse.
I love Soapbox Logan very much. Yeah.
I also like how you can just say, yeah, I used to work at a place, and I'm just going to start, you know, crapping on some of this stuff.
Not crapping on Fox Sports. It's just, you know, there's some things that every network does, and Fox is definitely one of them at times.
I know. It's just, it's so funny. Yeah. I think that's well said. So it got very ridiculous. Oh, geez. TJ Brooks, the BDCP slip and slide challenge brought to you by Sheridan's Barbershop and Historic downtown Wheaton, Illinois.
Start a movement.
You got to do it in the ad read voice too, right? Like there's something about that, right? The BDCP slip and slide challenge brought to you.
Where traditional meets slip and slide.
We'll workshop it. Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's a few different directions I'm going to go. Shout out to the chat, specifically Brewhouse he said outhouse Kramer for his penalty, and TJ Brooks agreed. I think that's a good call. But you know what? Speaking of penalties, let's just say the refs, because it's been a while since we had a good old fashioned let's hate the refs game. Even though the Bears won, I thought the officials were bad, and it kind of happened on both sides as well. I thought the pass interference on Tyreek Stevenson on Deontay Johnson, that thankfully didn't let up any points. It was still just god awful. Like Tyreek didn't even put his hands on the receiver. It's just such a bad call.
Terrible call.
Oh my gosh. I think the DeAndre Swift hold, where he essentially just sort of got ran into and he didn't really know what to do with his hands just because the guy sort of ran him over. They called that holding. That was egregious. I think there was another one. I can't remember. Just the refs were all over the place. It took him forever to sort out the scuffle at the end. I just was not impressed with this officiating crew. And thankfully, it did not matter. So it's kind of fun to be able to bitch about the refs, but also not to have to say, they cost us the game. The Bears would have won this, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's nice to say, yeah, they were bad. Thankfully, they didn't impact the game, but they need to be better. So the officials deserve to be in the outhouse today.
On that note, the Bears cut their total penalties in half from 10 to 5 this week. So that's good.
They did.
We like less penalties.
That is good.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. We've talked about a lot of stuff. Anything else that hasn't been brought up? I think we should probably talk about the fight that happened at the end, because that was, one, hilarious, and two, it could have consequences going into next week. So for those who don't know, there was a fight after the last Bears touchdown. Roschon Johnson got into the end zone. Matt Pryor, or I'm sorry, Bill Murray, who was in for Tevin Jenkins, got into it with J.C. Horn. Pushing and shoving started. Matt Pryor threw a punch at J.C. Horn, and then a whole thing happened. It lasted like 15 minutes. Ultimately, Horn and Pryor were ejected. There was offsetting penalties, but I mean, there could be fines. I don't know if a suspension's in order, but I just thought it was important to note that those two guys were ejected. Things could happen, but anything else, or maybe if we want to talk about that, what else is on your mind that we have not hit on?
Did Murray say something? Because I didn't see him do anything that was egregious at all. So he must have said something to that effect. Because he didn't throw a punch, and in fact he got punched, and then somebody else came in and like stopped him from doing it. My only thought on this one, boys, was it was a Roshan Johnson play. What is it about Roshan Johnson in fights, right? Is he stirring the pot a little bit, right? Like he gets punched by the Texans linebacker, yeah. And now this stuff. Like, what's going on?
Poor guy.
He was celebrating. He was like doing a dance and everything, and somebody just piled on him randomly.
You just see like flags start to like fly in the screen. You don't even see the fight that was happening. It's just like him celebrating, and then yellow flags.
Yeah, it's the Homer Simpson meme where he's in the bathtub and you just see Bart with the chair behind him. Like, it was so, I don't know. What is it about Roshan Johnson being involved that people just want to fight? I don't know. He's probably worth fighting for. I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, I love you, Roshan.
But I mean, if Pryor gets a suspension, I mean, if Nate Davis has to play, then that's just bad, bad, stupid, bad. I mean, that's just, there's like, I don't even know why you throw a punch, right? In football, like, again, it's like so stupid. Like, you've got helmets on. I feel like you could get away with a shove. Like, do the shove. That's where we should live, is in the shove down area. Because like, if you think about it, the linebacker from Carolina 54 just straight up shoved Pryor on the ground. There was no consequence for that whatsoever. But the punch in the face – that's a no-go, man. And if he gets, suspended and can't play, and I mean, is there somebody besides Nate Davis that can play? Anybody? Hey, Logan, what are you doing next Sunday?
Yeah, I could do that. I weigh 160 pounds, perfect. So I don't think I'm going to do much, but yeah.
You cup lock? You can cup lock. You're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just do it till they call a penalty. It's fine.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, man. So anything else? Let's go around the horn real quick. We'll just keep it the same from the outhouse penthouse. Ryan, Jack, Logan, anything?
I'll say this is with the Bears headed to the UK, we have a really, you know, we've had a couple guys on our podcast that are over in the UK. There's a really, really, really strong Bears following over in the UK. And I'm excited for those guys to get a chance to go and watch that game. Again, I don't really have great expectations for this. It's an 8:30 a.m. start for those of you that are in Chicago. I'm elated by that because I'm up at 5 a.m. every morning. So at that point, I get to kind of have the rest of my day to do whatever I'd like to. I know, Logan, that'll be really, really, really tough for you.
I was about to say 6:30. Nice start for me.
Sorry about that, buddy. But, but you know, I think, you know, that sometimes we forget, you know, how strong of a following the Bears have. And especially any of those guys that were raised in the 80s, because for a lot of them, like that's the only station that they got to see, or the only game that they got to see were Bears games. And so I'm excited for the Bears fans over in the UK to get a chance to watch them play up close and personal. And so that's something I'm really thinking about.
I guess mine would be a little bit of a around the league type of thing. I mean, the day started out so odd. That Minnesota game was very strange. The announcing was strange. Everything was about it was strange. But and it wasn't a very good game. And so I was just thinking to myself, oh, okay. So other people have to endure like absolute drudgery when they watch their football games too? Because that game was shit. It was a terrible game. But then aside from that, I mean, like, there was a return, like the dude scooped and scored from the end zone in a game. I think there was two field goals that were blocked. I mean, Logan, I'm stealing your thunder a little bit, but like you tweeted, you know, the NFL is king. This was a good week for football, man.
Oh,
so fun good. To watch all around the overtime games. There was just, it was very cool to be a fan of football today.
yeah, it was a day where you, like, I got to just sit on my couch, and it, the end of the, like, noon slate of games, there were a couple that came down to the Bengals Ravens game was awesome. That went to overtime, and you had Lamar fumbling, it was literal cinema, and it was one of the Sundays where you go, yep, that's why the NFL is truly king, because you had also awesome playoff baseball on at the same time, and I didn't really even care about watching that necessarily, which is just crazy. It was just a fun day, and I think biggest takeaway is just when we have a day like this where things went right, I don't give a crap who we were playing. Just go to bed, put your head on that pillow tonight, and just know that things are good, and we can take some deep breaths and just enjoy it.
Logan, that's a big thing for you to say, because I know for you and for Jack that baseball really was like your first love. Yeah. And, you know, especially I all jokes aside, I mean this sincerely. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely like the Cubs more than this, but like my heart goes out to you guys. Like, I know, Jack, like, yeah, I didn't think it was possible for you to shut down your fandom, and you did. Yeah. Man, that's big. Yeah. That's a big statement, dude.
Yep, it's that guy named Jerry has done it. So
I was gonna say there is a common denominator there.
Yeah, oh man, yeah, there definitely is. But yeah,
you know what, Logan? I'm good.
Wait, what?
I heard that they went 81-81 and just missed the playoffs by a few games.
Yeah. No, that was the Cubs, basically.
Oh, true.
And, you know, it's fine. At least it was competitive. It was somewhat competitive. I mean, I didn't punt on the whole season, but look, I want to build on what Logan said. This was not only a great day of football, this was a great weekend of football. Even going back to Thursday with the Falcons Buccaneers, that was one of the best Thursday night games I've seen in a long time. Then you go to Saturday with upsets galore in college football. Vanderbilt beats Alabama. The goalposts are just being paraded downtown Nashville.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was amazing. Like, this was such a fun weekend. And I'll get to it in my shout outs. I was with my wife at her college homecoming. And so it was fun to, like, just go out to the college bars again and kind of relive that scene. And as I'm like, as we're out, I'm watching all these upsets happen. And I'm just like, this is the best feeling in the world. Just kind of like, mm-hmm, sort of, because it's homecoming, it's allowed. You can relive college and do all that, but also while watching some really fun football. And then come today, the Bears get a big win. There's so many dramatic finishes in the NFL. Like, this is, guys, this is what we live for, like, football wise. Like, this is a great weekend. So I'm elated by that.
Yeah, sports rock.
Sports are fun, dude. I turned to my buddy I was watching the game with. I'm just like, man, football's so great. Like, football's fun.
Sometimes you just gotta be like, man, I love this. Like, nothing matters. Yeah. It's just cool.
Yeah.
It's just cool.
Going back to the Bears point real quickly, I thought Ryan hit on the point well about not only being excited that the Bears are going to London and everything, that for the people that we know out there who are going to the game, who get to cover the game. I mean, I think that's really cool that there are so many people, so many great opportunities. But I was thrilled when I heard that Ryan Poles told ESPN 1000 earlier today that the plan for them is to essentially get out the door on Monday, like Monday night, and spend the entire week in London getting acclimated to the time adjustment and then simulating a full week of practice while adjusting to the time zone. And I just was thankful, because that, I think, is going to be the difference between a win and a loss. And I think even earlier, I don't want to spoil anything, but also I can't remember, I might have picked the Bears to lose this game when we did our preseason predictions, because I was afraid that they would pull some BS. Ryan's nodding. Yeah, I did. Okay. I was afraid they were going to pull some BS like they did in 2019 when Matt Nagy took them there on Thursday and they came out flatter than a pancake against the Raiders. I feel a lot better about that now. And I feel better that the Jaguars actually got their first win too. So they're not in total desperation mode, but it feels like the Bears finally are thinking in the 21st century and saying, hey, it's better if our guys kind of reset their circadian rhythm. Is that it?
That sounds right. Sure.
Yeah. Okay. But I think it's great that they're actually going forward with that. And I feel much better about the Bears' chances now that they're getting there early. And finally, like you said, Jack, with the Vikings-Jets game being so ugly, I just want to leave London with a win. I don't care what happens as long as everybody's healthy. If Caleb Williams throws three interceptions, I'm going to say it was London's fault. If everybody fumbles, I'm going to say it's London's fault. If Caleb throws five touchdowns, I'm going to say keep the team in London. Everything's just weird when you're playing overseas. So just get out of there with a win and everything will be fine.
Do you have a problem with the British?
The British? What?
The British? Is that
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I'm just, I think they're, with the time difference and everything, it's they're usually weird games and they're usually low scoring games. So
ugly.
Yeah. It's, I just want them to get out of there with a victory no matter what. All right. Last call. Anything else we missed before we get to shout outs?
I think we're good.
All right. Let's do it. Let's get to shout outs. We'll start with, we'll keep the same order going. We'll go Ryan, Jack, Logan, and myself.
Man, well, first of all, this is not planned at all, but shout out to Brendan. I know Brendan is a very, very busy guy, and I just said, hey, I got some family stuff going on, which is why I got a different background tonight. Wife is working, and Brendan, without missing a beat, was just like, sure. You know, I think at this point, any of you that have ever listened to an episode before, you understand that all of us here on this podcast, we're pretty tight knit, and it's really fun that we get to hang out with our friends. I always say, like, when Logan's on the podcast, it's an excuse to see my good friend who's out in LA, who I don't ever get to see enough. And so every time I get to see a sexy ass mustache, it just makes me very, very happy. Aside from all my guys here at the podcast, two shout outs. First one goes to Big Dave. If you want to follow him on Twitter, it's at BearsUK2. Big Dave is not only a big man, he's a giant Bears fan. He's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful guy. And, you know, I'm so excited with all the guys that are over there, but I know that Dave is just elated for the Bears being there. He's a diehard fan. He's a great guy. And I just, Dave, thank you for all your interactions and just being a wonderful human being. And then TJ Brooks. TJ Brooks has been hanging out with us in the chat this whole time, but also TJ and I chat lacrosse. We talk Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We talk dad life. And so a whole bunch of other things. So TJ, to you, buddy, I need you to know that I just very much appreciate our friendship and just your support of this podcast. Man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, TJ. You're the real one, dude. Appreciate you, brother.
Vanderbilt 40, Alabama 35. Number one, I believe Alabama was ranked number one. Ryan and I have talked about this before. I just never found myself in a position to root for Alabama. So, hey, let's go, Vandy. Nice job. Huge win. That was pretty cool. I'm going to, you know, a little bit different. I'm going to shout out the city of Chicago. You know, the city, I feel like it gets dragged in the national media as being a lot of things that sometimes it is, but mostly it isn't. And I find myself defending the city rather frequently. And I find that to be very odd. I love that city, from the architecture to the transportation, to the food, to the history, the river, the river walk, the lakefront, which was designated always to be open for the use, for public use. The concert scene. I mean, if we just started all like kind of adding into this and talking about like some of the things that we love about the city, surely it's not a perfect city. And there are things that, you know, we don't necessarily love, but man, and today the football team. So it's kind of broad based, but shout out to Chi-Town.
Hell yeah. I've got one, and it's very, very simple, and it goes out to my sister, Kelly Eli, and her husband, John, who are probably tomorrow, maybe in the next couple of hours, going to have their first child.
And let's go!
They'll be welcoming a baby boy into the world, and there's nobody in the world that deserves it more than my sister and her husband, just because they've just wanted this for a long time. And if you've ever met my sister, she's literally one of the best people you could ever meet. She has the greatest heart. And so I'm just thinking about her, thinking about both of them, and I'll be going home in 2 weeks and meeting the new one. So I'm just really thinking about her, and a big shout out to her, because she is she's the best. She's a warrior, and yeah, I love her.
Please send our best to Kelly.
Yeah,
that is
absolutely,
dude, my heart is just, dude, and I know
it's weird.
She's had a journey too, man. So I just,
she has.
Like, as someone that also had a journey, like, oof, lots of love her way. Yep. That makes me so happy.
Yep. Super excited. So it's awesome.
Oh man. Congrats, Logan. Congrats to the family. And let me be the first one to say, welcome to the world, little Caleb Rome. It's so
good. How did you know?
Nailed it.
He will be a Bears fan. So it might be. I don't know. I don't know the name yet. That could be it.
Oh man. So as I said, I was able to go with my wife to her homecoming. Shout out Carroll University in Waukesha. A lot of Bears fans there still. Of course, it's Packer country, but hey, there's Bears colors there. So it definitely felt like being at home. And as we were tailgating with her friends and my friends too, we're all friends at this point, obviously, somebody comes up to me and they said, hey, like, my name's Nick, and I've actually followed you for a bit. I didn't realize that you were my wife's name is Agnes. I didn't know you were Agnes's husband, because I guess I posted a picture at some point. So Nick is a big follower of us. Like, he loves the podcast. He watches the podcast. So it was really cool to be like, oh man, nice to meet you. And really nice guy. And my wife is just like, yeah, like, I didn't know my friends that I knew from college are watching your stuff just randomly. So it's one of those small world things. So shout out to Nick. His Twitter handle or X handle, whatever, is at IcNau, IcKNAU. So it was great meeting him. Great meeting you, Nick, and really appreciate the support. Like, just hearing people say like, yeah, I watch your podcast, I watch your show, I follow your stuff. Like, it's really cool to hear just random people that you don't necessarily know, but then you get to connect with. So shout out to Nick. And then speaking of content that I do, shout out to my editor at Bears Wire, Alyssa Barbieri. Yesterday was her birthday. She does so much great work, and I'm thankful that she was actually able to get a day off and not have to worry about Bears stuff happening. So shout out to you, Alyssa. Hope you had a great birthday. Thank you for everything you do. And I just got a shout out Yeti for giving me this awesome water bottle out of the blue. This thing's awesome. They're touting their NFL products. I was trying to show it off a little bit, but I'm a big Yeti fan. So I just want to shout them out for hooking me up. Really appreciative. You guys can, if anybody wants their products, it's at Yeti NFL. You can get like any customized stuff, but definitely promote the Bear stuff, because of course that's the best team out there. So for all of us at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, we really appreciate the support. We really appreciate the chat. You guys hanging out, TJ Brooks, Bruja, Adrian coming in. I saw Heidi. Shout out to Heidi too. She always gives us the best support. Just everybody for hanging out with us, enjoying a Bears win. We really appreciate it. Please make sure you subscribe on YouTube, like the episodes, like us on all of our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Also leave us a 5-star review on the audio channel for the podcast. All of it helps. It may seem cliche, but it definitely keeps us growing. And as the Bears get better, hopefully we continue to get better, and more and more people can come check us out. So, without further ado, for Ryan Dengel, Jack Wright, Logan Bradley, Patrick Sheldon, Cam Ellis, I am Brendan Shagrew. Guys, thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for checking out the show. We'll see you next week. And as always, Bear Down, Chicago.